Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Welcome back to Devil Indemnity, the podcast. I'm Emily Glazer.
I'm Jonathan Pyle.
We like talking about new movies that come out. We're not qualified, but we still enjoy it. So
that we do.
That we do. Welcome back. This week, we're covering what movie?
Dungeons and Dragons.
Dungeons.
Honor Among Thieves.
And Dragons. Honor Among Thieves. Everybody be prepared. We're going to spoil the whole movie. We're going to talk about a lot of the things that happen in the movie. Beans is trying to eat one of the wires on our computer.
Tasty snack.
Please don't eat that. yeah, we're going to spoil the movie a lot. Be prepared for that. Also, follow us on Letterboxd. We post some movies there before we talk about them. I don't think anybody commented on it this week. I also have no idea where my phone is, so I can't even check. But I'm pretty sure they're not. But follow us, DI_podcast. Is our letterbox. My dog is licking my face right now.
Beans okay. is following us.
So, Jonathan, would you like to intro the podcast?
Yes. This is, Dungeons and Dragons, Honor Among Thieves, kind of like a play on words.
What's the play on words?
Popular phrase is, there's no honor among thieves.
Oh, I never heard of that.
Yeah.
I guess it does sound weird that thieves would have honor.
Mm-hmm. Directed by John Francis Daly and Jonathan Goldstein. I want you to try to guess what other movie, like the last movie that they did. It's similar to...
I've heard the name Jonathan Goldstein, or Stein, however you say it. Can I have a hint?
It's in the same vein as this movie. Yeah.
Same vein?
It's got Jason Bateman in it.
Jason Bateman?
I had no idea who these people were.
And it's the same, like, genre? I can't remember the last...
It's kind of like the same genre.
I can't remember the last time Jason Bateman was in a movie. I don't know.
Rachel McAdams.
And Jason Bateman. And it was, like, a superhero kind of movie?
Not superhero, but comedy action.
Comedy action.
Action comedy. That's a better way to put
it. What? I have no idea. Can I have more hints?
It's got, Oh, gosh. Who else is in it? It's got Kyle Chandler. It's got...
I don't know who that is. I really have no idea.
It's got Winston from New Girl in it.
What? That makes it worse. Just tell me what it is. I have no idea.
It's Game Night.
Game Night. I love the movie Game Night. Oh, that's such a good movie.
I know.
That movie is so funny. Oh, my gosh. Winston's in that?
Right?
I want to watch it again. I don't think so.
I gotta check, actually.
I don't think so.
I'm pretty sure
that is a really good movie, though. It's so funny. It's a really good movie.
Jesse Plemons. I love Jesse Plemons.
Yeah, I didn't think that movie was gonna be good as it was.
Yeah, no.
A lot of twists and turns. Oh my gosh, now I want to watch it again. That's one of those movies I can watch over and over again.
Me too.
Maybe you should put a blanket in your lap so she can lay there. Our dog's not happy unless she's sleeping in somebody's lap, and so
preferably with a blankie.
She's bumbling around right now, but now she's in Jonathan's lap.
Anyway,
interesting.
Yeah.
Okay,
and they also did Vacation, which was like the reboot or like spinoff of National Lampoon's Vacation.
I don't know that spinoff. I know the original.
Chevy Chase.
Yeah. I know the original one. Yeah, everybody knows the original National Lampoon's Vacation.
Yeah. Anyways. The plot, a charming thief and a band of unlikely adventurers embark on an epic quest to retrieve a lost relic, but things go dangerously awry when they run afoul of the wrong people.
That's the thing. If you ever like want a charming main character, like you have to hire Chris Pine.
He's outstanding at it.
He's charming. He's a little mischievous, mysterious. Like, he just plays that role.
I know.
I mean, he's kind of typecasted in it, but maybe that's just what he's like in real life, and that's why he's so good at playing it.
Probably.
Never met him. Can't say.
He's an attractive man. Don't agree. Good job. the budget was $151 million. Very specific.
That's a big budget.
I know. It was bigger than I thought, actually.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting that.
Box office, as of right now, they made like 40, 50 million in their opening weekend.
Is that good?
I'd say it's pretty good.
Do you think they're going to like have a profit
with
that kind of opening weekend?
Probably, yeah.
Just curious, like what was John Wick's opening weekend? Do you know?
Oh, I'm not sure off the top of my head. I can look it up.
Those came out at the same time or am I crazy? You probably wouldn't want to time your movie at the same time as John Wick, because those movies are so big. Everybody wants to see the John Wick movie.
That's true.
I do want to see the John Wick.
No beans. Don't eat that.
No. Just trying to eat the wires. Beans, you have so many bones. Why don't you go eat one of your bones?
Racked up 122 million.
Uh-huh. Really, see, they're stiff competition. Is that what you say? Stiff competition? When there's a lot or when there's not good competition?
When there's a lot.
Okay. Very stiff competition. Yeah, honestly, I didn't even want to see the Dungeons & Dragons movie because I'm not a big Dungeons & Dragons fan.
Where was I?
You were talking, you did the intro and plot.
Oh, right. I'm sorry. In the budget. So John Wick made like 122 million its opening weekend, which is pretty good.
That's crazy. But it's really also like a way bigger series. This is like a first time movie.
That's true. And this is the fourth Dungeons & Dragons film and also a reboot.
What? Is this a...
It's not a series. No.
Oh, it's not a series.
No. Yeah.
Just a... Okay. They're not the first ones to make a movie.
Yeah,
I guess I had never heard of an older one, and I thought this was the first one, but that's kind of a stupid thing to assume because it's such a popular game.
I assume the same thing, though. Literally. Yeah. Yeah, I thought the same exact thing. So the movie stars Chris Pine as... His name is Edgin.
Mm-hmm.
Edgin, he's like the main protagonist. Michelle Rodriguez as Holga. She's always typecasted in those roles.
Is like a very strong woman.
But she does a great job.
She's great at it, yeah.
I don't know how to pronounce his name. Reg Jean Page as Zink. Zenk.
Yeah, sure. I don't know how to pronounce his name either.
Okay. Justice Smith as Simon. Sophia Lillis as Doric, who was like the elf.
A little elf.
Elf girl.
Yeah, Elf Goyle.
Elf Goyle. And then Simon was like the sorcerer wannabe. And then Hugh Grant as Forge.
Yeah, it was funny. After we left this movie, Jonathan was like, Hugh Grant's really gone crazy. This movie's at his acting
just
with
doing
age.
Whatever he wants
But I'm like, Hugh Grant has always been like that. Like, he's always been a little fantastical with his acting. I love that about him. That's why he's so good in those kinds of roles.
I like him.
It was
him
funny
as an
how
actor.
You were like, he's going crazy. I'm like, I'm pretty sure he's always been like that.
I like him as an actor. I feel like as a person, he would just be really mean. I don't know why.
Really? I feel like he'd be a really nice person. Really? I've never heard anything about him in real life, though, so
Me
I can't
either.
Speak to if he is a nice person or not.
It's just the feeling I get, you know?
The feeling.
It's all about the feeling. So that is the intro.
That's the intro?
Movie.
Okay. How many stars did you give it?
3.5.
I gave it 3.
You gave it 3?
You know what? 3.5. I'm going to go with you. Because it was super enjoyable. Like, I do want to say, like, we don't know anything about Dungeons & Dragons.
Nothing.
We have never played the game. All I really know about it, and I feel like you're the same way, is that like it's a really long and intense game that there's like one person who designs the entire plan.
Yeah, it's like a
there's like a leader.
I forgot the name for it.
Gosh, what was it called? I don't know, but there's like a special name for the person who like comes up with the storyline and like leads the whole thing, and it goes on for like hours and hours and hours.
Pierce would kill me that I don't know this.
Yeah, Jonathan has a friend who's like really into it. I mean I have a friend who like plays it too. But she was never like super into it. She just did it for fun, like with one of her friend groups. And she said it was fun. But I just think I would be really bad at it. Like, I don't think I would enjoy playing it because I, first off, like have not a very good like imaginative mind. Like, I can't picture things in my mind very well. So like, I don't think I would be able to play it.
And
also I'm like the worst like audible learner. Like, if you tell me things just straight out of my head, like there's no way. So there's literally, I don't think I could play that game. If somebody was just like telling me all the things that are happening, I would be so overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I don't think I could be very good at that game, but it seems intense and it must be pretty darn popular that everybody has heard of it.
Yeah, literally everybody. Yeah,
it's definitely associated as like a nerd dorky game, though.
It's becoming more popular though. I feel like.
Well, I used to think Catan was like a nerd dorky game, and then we really like it now.
We must be nerd dorkies.
We're not. Honestly, we're probably closer to the nerd dorky side than we are to like the, what's the other side? Other people side? Normal side?
I don't know.
I don't know what you would call them.
Other people.
The others. Yeah. I don't know who we associate with.
I haven't seen that movie.
Yeah. But honestly, I'm not even like a fan normally of like medieval stuff and like fantasy worlds. I'm usually don't enjoy stuff like that.
That's true. You don't. You've never watched The Lord of the Rings or The Hobbit.
Well, I do like Game of Thrones. I am a Game of Thrones fan. But I don't really like how, like, the medieval times for some reason have been, like, fantasized, because they were probably, like, one of the worst times in human history. Like, medieval era, the Dark Ages.
Crusades.
And, like, yeah. Okay. And then for some reason has become this huge, like, fantasy, like, medieval stuff. For some reason, it's, like, so popular and everybody loves it. But I'm like, I don't think it sounds good.
I mean,
it does
sound
not
good
sound
to
like
in.
A good time.
Seems cool to watch.
It just never really, like, struck a chord with me. That's, like, something I was, like, interested in that genre. And I mean, it's super big. Like, they do, like, medieval, like, festivals and stuff still that are, like, really popular.
Yeah, I've been to,
like, we have a friend who went to one.
I went to a medieval festival one time.
See, yeah, it's, like, a big thing. You have, yeah, like, a turkey leg, and you, like, wear the dress, and you know, you watch people joust. Is that what it's called? When,
yeah,
you, like, stab each other with sticks.
Stab each other with sticks.
Yeah.
That
I don't
is
know.
What it's
like
called.
It's definitely a big culture, like, people being really into that stuff, and it's just never really done it for me. I feel like I was really worried that this movie was going to be too much in a niche genre of, like, Dungeons and Dragons, like, medieval age. And I feel like they did a really good job making it enjoyable for all audiences.
They balanced it,
like,
very well.
The humor was very agreeable, and they did a really good job, like, explaining concepts. And I think, I'm assuming, being an outsider to Dungeons and Dragons, I don't know if this is accurate, but I'm assuming they probably put a lot of Easter eggs in there of things from the real
Tons
game.
Tons of Easter eggs.
And I feel like that made it much more exciting for the niche group who love Dungeons and Dragons. But then they also did such a good job of, like, making it interesting for all audiences, like, by not assuming you know what things are, you know,
yeah, yeah,
but then still explaining it in a really good way. Like, I feel like it just reminds me of, like, Shrek, that, like, Shrek is, like, technically a kid's movie, but adults, like, really associated with it too, because they had really good, like, jokes,
mm-hmm,
and general humor. It wasn't just, like, a stupid kids movie.
Yeah,
which
I
feel like they're getting worse at now. I feel like kids
they're
movies now
so
are getting
worse.
Like, they're just handing you crap.
I know,
it's,
you're
like,
so
not even
right.
Interesting, and kids are not stupid, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know, I think it kind of bothers me the way kids movies are now, but that's very much a different tangent that I'm getting on right now. But I never felt like like confused, or like I was like outside of understanding of like the niche concepts that could come along with it. So, I mean, for me being somebody who's not excited about this movie, I really enjoyed it. Like,
yeah,
the one thing that made me slightly interested in seeing it was because it had such a good cast, and there is a cameo. I don't think we should mention it. I think we should leave it unmentioned. There's a wonderful cameo that in the movie it was happening. And Jonathan and I were dying laughing in the theater, and nobody else was laughing.
Nobody else cared.
But we thought it was just, that was such a good cameo. Like, it was so good. If you watch the movie, you'll know. You should definitely watch it. I think it's enjoyable for all audiences. So, yeah.
What was I going to say? Wait, sorry.
You go ahead.
Really enjoyed the movie. I will say at times, like, the dialogue was not always very clear. Or
what do you mean?
Like,
they didn't really speak in, like, medieval language.
No, that's not what I mean. I just mean, like, physically sometimes you just could not hear, or like, the words that they were saying or comprehend them.
I didn't notice
maybe
that.
It was more,
or maybe
the,
it happened and it just didn't bother me.
The lore of Dungeons and Dragons, like the names and the places they would say.
Yes.
I'm
assuming that, like, what was it called? The Heralds? The Harpers. I'm assuming the Harpers is like a niche thing, like a real thing, you know?
Yeah.
Like the group of, like, what would you call that? Like, brave, admirable men to protect the realm or something. Like, there was definitely, like, a lot of, like, words and places and, like, groups of people, you know, how they were, like, saying, oh, he's from, like, I don't remember what they were called, but, like, he's from this, like, colony or, like, this tribe. And, like, I would just be like, yeah, whatever, I don't care. Like, I didn't care if I didn't remember what it was or what they were referencing because it made just enough sense, you know?
True.
Or, like, when they went to, like, the underworld. Because, see, it didn't bother me for some reason that they talked in a lot of terms I didn't understand what they were saying.
It didn't really
because
bother
they
me either.
They showed you it really well.
I just couldn't hear what they were saying.
Oh. I didn't notice that. It didn't bother me at all. And I'm usually the one who doesn't hear anything that anybody says.
That's true.
Yeah,
I would know.
I mean, I would say overall, like, I don't have a lot of, like, critical comments about this movie. Like, it's very easy to watch, and it's very enjoyable, in my opinion, for all audiences. And I would definitely, like, be able to watch this over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we're more just going to talk through, like, the plot and, like, the little bits that we liked or enjoyed. And if you, I know you said that a lot of the fun facts were, like, very much based on the game. So like, I don't know if that's useful for like, not useful. I don't know if that's interesting to us because we're not a part of that niche group that like really understands the game, but you know what I'm saying. So let's get into the plot. You ready?
Yeah.
Okay. I just want to give thanks out there to Wikipedia for helping me remember everything that happened in this movie because we saw it in theater, so I couldn't take notes. So yeah, just want to cite my sources, you know. And with Wikipedia, you know, like, yeah, you shouldn't use it for like real research essay papers, probably. But this is literally like a movie plot, like, you know,
casual
what I mean?
Stuff. It's useful.
Yeah, I think it's pretty useful.
I used it in almost
also
all
like
my
the
essays.
Wikipedia game is so fun. You ever play the Wikipedia game?
I'm terrible at that. We played that one time together, and I'm terrible at it.
I can't believe you had never played it before. Like, it's like a game where you like two people go on Wikipedia on different computers, and you have like a start point and an end point, and you have to like click to. Through all the links on the pages to get to the end point. So like it would be like Danny DeVito to like Jamaica or something, and you'd have to click through. And I think it's really fun. It's not that hard. It's kind of fun.
It's hard for me.
I always had a good time doing it on the Chromebooks in high school.
On the Chromebooks.
Yeah. Okay. Let's get into the plot. So the movie starts out with Edgin and Holga, Edgin being the Harper we were talking about and Olga being his like sidekick. And they're in prison. And they are pleading their case for a pardon of their crimes. So I really liked how they did this. This is how they introduced the backstory. Like, this is how they introduced the characters and their life and their goals and, like, what's happening. And I think it was wonderful because some movies just, like, straight dump the background on you. So whoever wrote this, I applaud them because this was a great way to intro the story. So basically they, as they're pleading their case, they're like, this is our story, this is what happened, and then that's when they like flash back to like their lives and what got them to where they are now. So they did a good job of like not handing it to you, and it was a super fun scene because it was Chris Pine, like, you know, showing off how charming he is, making his good jokes, like, it's enjoyable. His monologues are always good.
He was like, I just can't get through this without Jonathan.
Yeah. So they were like, there were like three advisors there, and then there was one who wasn't, and his name was Jonathan. And they were like, really wanted him to be there, and we didn't know why. Like, I assumed, oh, they're like pals. Jonathan's gonna like pardon them or like get everybody to want to pardon them. But then you'll find out what happens. So let's just get into the backstory. So, like, who they are, what their life is. So Edgin, Chris Pine, he spent many years working as a member of the Harpers, which is like a secret order of peacekeepers, until his wife got killed by a red wizard that he had previously captured and put in jail. So the red wizards are like the bad guys in the story, basically.
And he stole from.
Yeah, and he did steal from him, which is something you don't find out till later. But he like blames himself for his wife's death because when he stole from the red wizards, they like can track the jewels and all of their like possessions, so they tracked him down and they killed his wife for stealing from them.
I mean, pretty fair reaction in my opinion.
No. Yeah, so the red wizards, the bad guys, and the reason he stole was because, like, as a Harper, you don't make a lot of money. Like, you just have to be satisfied with, like, your service, basically, to society. So he was stealing to try to, like, provide for his family. But it backfired big time. So don't steal, kids. That's what I'm trying to say.
Big no-no.
Big no-no. So his bestie is Olga. And Holga. So sorry. Excuse him.
Olga is
It's
Russian.
Funny. All the names are, like, normal names. They just changed, like, one letter. Like
Edwin.
One letter. One letter. Yeah, Edgin could have been Edwin. Holga could have been Olga. Jonathan could have been Jonathan. Like, they really like wanted them to have these weird names.
Simon was normal.
Sophina could have been Sophia.
So who's Sophina?
Sophina was the bad wizard.
That was Simon.
No, the bad wizard, Sophina. The good wizard is Simon.
Oh, Sophina.
The red wizard is Sophina. Yeah, we'll get to her. We'll get to her. She's not a good character. Yeah, so his bestie is Holga. That's the girl he's in prison with. And they have a very platonic relationship, which I highly appreciated because the two of them are like besties. They've both been through heartbreak from their like true loves. And they are together raising Edgin's kid, Kira. And I liked that they didn't have to fall in love. Like, they can just have a platonic relationship and raise Kira together and just be like a family, regardless if there's like a love story between them. So I really appreciated that they did that. Because there wouldn't have been chemistry between them anyways.
No.
But if they had wanted chemistry, they would have hired actors with chemistry. So,
true.
You know what I mean? Yeah, so after the wife is dead, Edgin's like, okay, I got to do more to provide for my daughter. So I'm going to become a thief and I'm going to steal stuff. Very much like a Red Robin Hood style. You know what I mean? Like steal from the rich, give to the poor as a gift to themselves. That was kind of the vibe they were going for. So he gets like a group of thieves together. So it's him, Holga, Simon, who's like a good wizard, Forge. Don't know who Forge is, where Forge is from, but his name is Forge. And then Sophina is like a bestie of Forge. And Sophina is like a wizard. And nobody really trusts her at the beginning, but they're like, ah, whatever. We're going to go with it.
Go for it.
And so they wanted to raid a Harper, like, what would you call it? Like a Harper vault? A vault?
Yes.
Of the Harpers. And so at first Edgin's like, oh, these are my boys, like I don't want to rob from them. But then they get him to do it by saying like, oh, well, they have this like tablet there that like brings people back to life.
It's like, whoa.
He's like, whoa. And I love how there really wasn't like any catch to it. Like the tablet just works. Like there's not like, oh, she comes back to life but like she's a zombie, or like she comes back to life but she's like not the same. Like they just come back to life.
That's true.
There was really no like catch, which surprised me, because I feel like with Dungeons and Dragons there would be a catch, but that's there's true. Not.
There was a throw, but there was no catch.
Is that something people say?
No. Oh. Keep going.
Okay. Yeah. So he's like, okay, fine, we're gonna rob these boys, even though they're my boys.
My boys.
So this is very much like an Indiana Jones moment. He gets in there, grabs the tablet, and then you know he should have had something ready to like replace it with. In the little spot, you know what I mean? Like, what's that? What was it from? Temple of Doom or Indiana Jones? The
Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Raiders of the Lost Ark. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. One of those moments.
If you were a true Indiana Jones fan, you would know this.
I am not a true Indiana Jones fan. I am just an Indiana Jones fan.
I played all of the Lego Indiana Jones levels 10 times over.
Is that a game? A Lego game?
Lego Indiana Jones, yeah.
Did you ever build Indiana Jones stuff with Legos?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course I did.
I didn't know you were that big of a fan.
Yeah.
I'm excited for the new Indiana Jones. When it comes out, we'll have to do it on the podcast. When does it come out?
June 5th. It's in June.
That's like almost my birthday.
Oh, you're right.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Moving on. So, boopity boop. Basically, it's a booby trap. After he grabs the tablet. Don't know what was so special about the tablet that's the one with the booby trap, but it was. And so, basically, they put like a time freeze.
Sophina
puts like a time freeze spell, which like makes everybody freeze if he gets stuck in the time freeze bubble. And so Forge, Sophina, and Simon the wizard all escape. And then Edgin and Olga end up in prison for their crimes. And this is when you come back to present day. So like that's the history of everything. So now they're back in prison and they're talking about the pardon. And Jonathan shows up. So it turns out the reason they wanted Jonathan to show up was because he was a huge bird and they could jump on his back, push him through a window, and then he would fly and rescue them.
Yes.
And they wouldn't die.
I will say the CGI for Jonathan was not
the best. There was a lot of CGI too. Like they could have done better.
Yeah, that was my there were a couple other instances, but that was the most noticeable instance of
bad CGI.
Yeah,
it wasn't great. But yeah, so they escape on Jonathan, and then they had a funny little joke there because they had actually just accepted their pardon. They're like, yeah, we'll pardon you. But then they literally escaped prison, so they're not pardoned anymore. So it's really painful, honestly, to watch.
Ironic.
They could have gotten away with it without a scopping. Yeah, so then once they're out of prison, they learn the terrible news that Forge has become the Lord of Neverwinter. After the prior lord became mysteriously sick, and there were some rumors that Sophina cast a little spell on him to get him sick.
Spell.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so Forge has been taking care of Kira, who's Edgin's daughter, per Edgin's request. And Forge has infiltrated Kira's mind and made her think that Forge is a bad guy.
Influenced her.
Not Forge. Made her think that her dad is a bad guy and that he was greedy and evil and he left her for gold and riches.
Gold and money.
Yeah.
As people do.
So then Sophina, the wizard, gets revealed as a red wizard. So before this, you didn't know she was a red wizard. You just thought she was like a little suspicious. But this is when you really find out who she truly is. She has her true colors. And I really liked, they kept like transitioning. So like when she would become her red wizard self, her outfit would like turn red. And when she was like a blue wizard in disguise, her outfit would turn blue. And I thought it was so cool. Like, I really liked that. It was like her transitioning to show her true colors.
It was very aesthetic.
Very aesthetic. I wonder how they did that.
CGI.
I guess CGI. I don't know. It was pretty cool. I thought it was really cool. I liked that they did that.
Me too.
When she was like being her bad guy self and when she was in disguise. So you find out that Forge and Sophia had actually like planned the whole thing so that they would be trapped. I don't know why they needed to be trapped. Like, I didn't really understand the benefit of it. Like, couldn't they have just...
What do you mean?
Like, couldn't Forge and Sophia have just taken over the city without making Edgin and Olga trapped? Like, why was that necessary?
Oh. I guess they could have done that at any time. Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, there really was no need for it. It basically just made them enemies of each other.
Yeah, exactly. The only reason was to influence his daughter. That would have been the only thing, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really know where that came from. So,
well, maybe they got all the gold from the heist that they...
Why'd you put my water so far away?
I did not mean to.
Oh my god, I can't reach it. Okay, I got it. What were you saying?
There you go.
Thanks.
Maybe they like took all the gold that they got from their mission where they betrayed Edgin and the others and used that to fund their...
Oh, they used the gold. Oh, that's what it was. They used all the money from the heist to fund their political
aspirations.
Yes. Couldn't find the word. Yeah. So Edgin and Olga escape from Sophina and Forge after they find out they're bad guys. And they decide that what they need to do is they need to rob Forge's vault because Forge, basically, since he became king, he brought back this thing called like the High Sun Games, which like they had gotten rid of previously because it was like very
controversial
because it was like basically killing people for like the entertainment of the citizens.
I mean, yeah, I totally get it.
Yeah. So Forge says he reinstated the games to like bring money and help the economy in Neverwinter. And so they know, Edgin and Olga know, that the vault is going to be filled with a bunch of money because all the rich people are coming to, like, bet on the games.
Yeah.
And so they're like, we're going to rob his vault to use the money for what? Why did they want the money from the vault?
They wanted,
what was the point of the money to steal his vault? There was a reason.
They needed the helmet to get into the vault.
But why did they need to get into the vault? What did they want the money from the vault for?
To just take away his money and his power?
Oh, okay.
Was that it?
Or I don't know.
Was there something else?
I don't know. You'll have to see the movie to find out. I don't remember.
I'm going to watch it again. I'm not going to watch it again.
I'm not going to watch it again, but I would watch it again. So basically, they're like, okay, in order to rob this vault, we need to get a bigger team. We need a sorcerer, i.e. Simon, and we need a dwarf. Not a dwarf. We need a...
Doric.
Elf. That's what I meant. An elf named Doric who can shapeshift for some reason.
I guess that's probably a power that they have in the game as well. Yeah. They can shapeshift into like a butterfly or an owl bear.
I thought the owl bear was really cute, actually.
Cute owl bear.
There was like an owl bear that Doric had shapeshifted into. That was cute. Okay, so they find out that the vault has like very magical defenses and you have to be a very strong sorcerer to get into it. And Simon's like, boy, I can't do it.
I can't do it, man.
Unless I have this helmet. I got to go get a helmet.
And even then, I don't know if I'm going to attune to the powers of the helmet.
Attune to the powers of the helmet. So they go on this mission to find the helmet to hopefully think that he can attune to it and get into the vault.
And Edgin... Well, Simon only tells Edgin that this may not even work because he can't, like... He's not compatible with the helmet. And nobody else knows about that.
Yeah.
That this is all just kind of based on chance and luck. And then Egg is like, well, that's how we always do our missions. Just luck.
Yeah. Yeah, so they basically go into the underworld to try to find the helmet because Okay, actually, I totally jumped way too far ahead. So they have to go on this little journey to figure out where the helmet is first. And so they have to, like, go ask a bunch of dead people because the dead people, they go to, like, this battlefield where a bunch of people died in a battle over the helmet. And Simon, with his sorcerer powers, is able to bring people back to life and ask them 5 questions. And then the people go die again. Okay, so they travel to the graveyard. And they find out from a very funny scene. That was a good scene. You should watch it to watch that scene because we were laughing.
You should watch that
scene. Go watch that scene.
Watch the scene.
And then they find out that there's this guy named Zenik Yandar.
It's like Zenk?
Yeah, Zenk. I don't remember his name. But he basically was like a child during the time that like the Red Wizards became evil. And the Red Wizards like did this crazy thing where they like killed everybody and made them their zombies.
I would do the same thing.
And so Zenik escaped from that. And he's also like this really good guy who like helps people and stuff. So he knows where the helmet is basically. And he doesn't like the Red Wizards. So he's been hiding the helmet because it's really powerful and the helmet is able to like disable enchantments. Mm-hmm. And that's why they'd be able to get in the vault with it.
Fun fact.
Fun fact.
All the spells used in the film, while largely unnamed, they're all spells used in Dungeons & Dragons, the pen and paper RPG.
What does RPG mean?
Role-playing game.
Oh. That's cool.
It is not the bazooka.
I know. I was like, isn't that like a gun? Yeah. I like that that it was all really actually taken from the game. Because now I know a little bit more about the game. You know? Yeah. And it's interesting. And they were interesting spells. Very nice. Loved it. Happy for them. Well done. So, Zenik agrees to give them the helmet because he also hates the Red Wizards, of course. Also, this is the guy from Bridgerton.
Yes. The cool main guy, honestly.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. He's fine. So, with the help of a teleportation staff, which Olga's ex-husband actually gave to her, they obtained the helmet. In this underworld scene with the helmet and the magical teleportation gun, they get attacked by some Red Wizards and they fight them off.
And a dragon. And they're in a dungeon, so it's really in the name.
Yeah, true. I guess they had to have a dragon in the movie at some point.
They did. They had 2, technically. One was in a flashback.
True. There were 2 dragons. You have to have dragons if it's in the name. Okay, so then Simon has some problems linking with the helmet after they get out of the underworld, and everybody's like, what the heck? I give up. And it's very much a team-building situation.
That's true. There's always, it's the, what do you call it?
It's like every movie has to have a downfall
when
everybody like wants to give up, but then they all come back and they're like, yes, go team.
It's like before the climax, but it's not the rising action, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And it gets you to the climax because now you like feel more like emotionally attached to the team, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what it was. Okay. Moving on. They all bonded over it. It was a good little scene. Real cute. Real
good
cute
chat,
scene.
Good chat. Also, the fight scene.
Good chat. Hands in the middle team. Whoa.
The fight scenes were better than I thought they would be.
I thought the fight scenes were good. There were also some scenes where they really thought stuff out really well. And it was really interesting. Like the plans. Because like... So
the what?
They figured out a way to get in the vault without using the helmet.
You're right.
And so like there was this whole scene where they're like using the teleportation gun and like somehow infiltrating it. And I'm honestly like, there's no way I could explain it. It was really well thought out. I was honestly watching it kind of like confused the whole time. But then at the end I was like, oh, it was really cool. I liked it.
Yeah.
They thought out some of the scenes really well. Like, it was definitely a well-written movie, even if it was, like, very basic. Like, it gave me Guardians of the Galaxy vibes. I'm not going to lie.
Literally, that was a fun fact.
Really?
Literally,
what was the fun fact?
Let me look it up real quick. Continue, and I will
get
back with you.
Okay, we'll return to Jonathan's fun fact. But oh, my God, I'm so proud of myself. Yeah, it definitely gave me Guardians of the Galaxy vibes. Like, a really weird gang of friends who, like, you know, save the world and stuff.
I'm really excited for... the third volume to come out.
Oh yeah, we'll have to do the podcast on that one too.
It's gonna be
really I'm excited good. Yeah, that's gonna be a fun one. I'm excited about it. The Guardians of the Galaxy movies are the only Marvel movies that I really care about.
Oh yeah, this just said the tone of the movie is said to be similar to Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, I agree. It is. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Look at me. I always feel so proud of myself when I just have the same opinions other people have. Like, oh my gosh. Yes. Yeah, I do think the right things. Like the foundation of it. Oh my gosh. So yeah, basically when they're like trying to get into the vault and stuff, they get captured and they're forced to participate in the games. This is also a very complex situation. Kind of reminded me of The Shining, running through a maze.
And there's a panther, but it's got these two little tendrils.
Tendrils? What a fancy word.
Yeah, it is a fancy word.
Yeah, it does have little tendrils and he could do holographs, right?
Yeah, holograms.
What's the difference? What's a holograph?
I don't know what a holograph is.
But I guess it's a hologram.
That it like projects itself onto different walls.
It was really cool. Yeah,
the person can see it on that wall and be like, "Oh no!" And then it attacks from behind. And
yeah, you could tell it was definitely like kick-a-pow. It was definitely inspired by like the Roman like Colosseum vibes. You know,
gladiator
stuff. It was kind of inspired by like having, but also like Maze Runner vibes.
Oh yes, true. That reminded me of that too.
They pulled a lot from like other movies
very
and stuff for
2014, 2013.
Yeah, very 2014, 2015. And then they came up with like a really cool way to escape.
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah, it was pretty good. Gotta watch the movie to figure it out because it's really hard to explain.
We don't want to explain.
We have done so many like movies that it was just so hard to explain. And with this movie, I'm just like, I'm not having it. Like, you know what? Great scene. Hard to explain. Go watch it. And
experience
you will agree
it for
with me.
Yourself experience rather than listen to us blab at you.
Because we're blabbing right now.
Look at Beans' ear, though.
If you're watching the video, Beans is sleeping on Jonathan. She's being a sweetie pie today. Why are you being so nice today?
Fun fact. John Francis Daly, the co-writer and co-director, he starred in the TV series Freaks and Geeks. Have you heard of that? I've never seen it, but a ton of people watch that.
Freaks and Geeks.
Yeah, it's like it was a big show back in the day.
What is the day that you're talking about?
1999 and 2000.
1999. Oh, there's a bunch of people on it.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a stacked cast. Oh, so it's like teenagers.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, these are all a bunch of famous actors as kids.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Is that Jason Segel? Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
But his character in that is shown to be a big fan of D&D and is seen playing the game with his friends in the show's final episode, which is cool.
That is cool. Big D&D. Oh, Leslie Mann is in it too. Oh my God, there's so many people in it.
I'm not a big fan of Leslie Mann.
Oh my God, I love Leslie Mann.
Actually, you know what?
She plays like frazzled like nobody else.
Actually, I'm not. I take that back.
She's fantastic. I don't know why you wouldn't like her. So back to the story. Doric finds out that the treasure is not actually in the vault like they thought. It's actually being loaded onto a boat because Forge's plan is to escape during the games because Sophina is planning to mind control and kill the entire civilization.
And turn
them all into red wizard zombies like had happened previously.
And to make never winter, always winter.
Oh, I didn't get that. So it's going to start snowing?
I just put that. No, I don't know. That was a joke. I just put that the name together.
Is that what winter is like to you?
5 minutes ago.
Everybody's just zombies?
That's what it's where we live.
Honestly, yeah. We live somewhere with very aggressive winters. And I do feel like a zombie in the wintertime. I'm so ready to come back to summertime.
Me too.
Like, I want to sweat when I'm outside. And I want to get a sunburn.
I never thought I'd want to sweat more than I already do.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
I am getting really hot under this blanket though. Beans.
And you've got Beans too.
She's a heater.
She is a heater. She's a cutie baby. So basically Forge's plan is to escape. And so that's why they wanted to have the games so that they could get all of the entire city together so that they could trap them and mind control them. And here's how they stopped them. So what's their names?
Edgin, Holga, Simon,
and Doric get Kira and they escape to the ship and they're going to leave. And then they're like, oh my God, wait.
We have to
So Fina
going
is going to kill everybody. They had absolutely no idea that that was the plan. So they're like, God damn it, we got to save her. So they use their little teleportation device and they like use it to like drop all of the
coins.
Treasures and the coins over the city
to
draw people out of the Colosseum. And here's my thing, like Sophina.
Oh, that was
come
to
on.
Draw people out.
Yeah, it was to draw people out so that they wouldn't get like mind controlled by Sophina and they wouldn't be trapped. But my thing is like Sophina, my dudes, all this planning, And you couldn't lock the doors. You know what I mean? Like, you could easily force people to stay in the Coliseum.
I know. Pull a Red Wedding, you know?
Just yeah,
block
pull,
it
yes.
and slaughter.
Game of Thrones reference, if you don't know what we're talking about.
That might have been a spoiler.
No. Nobody knows what the Red Wedding is until they see it. Sorry, I totally just disturbed
that was...
Beans. I don't know why I did that. I totally disturbed her. I'm so sorry.
Gravitational. Transformational.
I'm so sorry.
Effect on her.
Yeah, it was definitely like a very, very simple, like, bad guy. Bad guy does bad thing. Good guy stops
does,
bad guy.
Does good thing.
It wasn't that hard to stop her.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
And so they get into this big brawl with Sofina because she's like, I'm so mad at you. I was about to kill everybody.
What
My master
heck?
Plan. And so they get in a big fight with her. And this is when Simon really comes to with his, like, wizardry powers. And he... You know, gets her. You know, they get her. They get the bad guy. Boom, boom. She down.
Which is cool because she uses the time spell, and but Simon stops it in time. But you don't know that, and so
yes,
they're just like pretending
super,
to be frozen.
Super smart. Yeah. So she like put a time spell on them to freeze them, and then Simon counteracted it. But everybody went along with the plan of pretending they were frozen, so that Sofina would think that she got them, and then. Kira, who has this like little amulet that makes her invisible on like whenever she wants, uses her invisibility amulet. Is that a word? Amulet.
Amulet?
Amulet? Necklace. She uses her invisibility necklace to become invisible and put like a bracelet on the wizard that like makes her magic not
work
magical.
That was previously on the main characters.
Yes, yeah, so you learned about it previously in the movie. And so Sofina loses all of her magical powers and they win. Go team. Well done. Good plan.
Woo!
Woo! Go team. So that is basically what happened. And so basically there's also this very dramatic, like, heartwarming scene where Olga had gotten fatally injured and she was going to die. And Edgin and Kira decide to use the tablet to bring Olga back to life instead of saving
his
it
wife.
To bring their his wife slash Kira's mother back
their
to life.
Wife.
I was going to say their wife, but they have a different relationship to her
relationship.
Mother slash wife situation. But then they decide to bring Olga back instead because they have moved on. They have closure from the mother's passing. And Olga is like the true pillar of womanhood in the family now, I guess. So, yeah. I guess the wife would be happy. I don't know. I don't know how I would feel if I was the dead wife and
you probably wouldn't
you didn't
be
bring me back.
Feeling anything because you'd be dead.
Okay. Fine. Do whatever you want after I die. I'm going to outlive you. The women always outlive the men.
That's true.
Have you ever noticed nursing homes are mostly women?
That's true. That's true. And you're just going to go live in a retirement home
yeah,
with
my
your sister.
Yeah, my sister and I plan to live in a retirement home together and be the psycho bitches who like yell at each other all the time and have like blue eyeshadow, but like actually just having a great time.
I can totally see
I'm
that.
I'm so excited. We're going to share like a little house.
Glad to know you're excited when I pass away. That's really
no,
good to
No, what
know.
You should think is like, oh, I'm so glad you have plans for after, you know?
True,
because I would be so lonely without you now. But once I'm like an old lady and the kids have their kids and we're just like Jay chilling, doing whatever we want. We retire.
We're going.
Retirement sounds so fun.
It does sound fun.
Good thing we're not even a year into our careers.
That's depressing.
We'll get there one day. We'll get there one day. And we're not going to look too far in the future. Live in the moment, Jonathan. Live in the moment.
That's what Beans always says.
Yeah, that's what Beans always says when Beans talks. Okay. So, that is the end of the movie. Overall, I would say, super enjoyable. Very happy we decided to see it. I recommend everybody sees it just because it is
great film.
Very well-rounded, very enjoyable for all audiences. And great film, like Jonathan said. 10 out of 10. Or 3 out of 5. 3.5 out of 5, really.
7 out of 10.
7 out of 10, yeah. 7 out of 10. Yeah.
10 out of 10.
10 out of 10. Okay, so this week I'm actually ready with the movie for next week that I want to do. I want to do Air, the new Michael Jordan movie.
Michael Jordan.
Michael Jordan.
LeBron James.
That's the wrong person. It's just like there's no like Michael Jordan saying, you know what I mean? Like there's like LeBron James, and then there's like Kobe. When you like shoot Kobe, people say that.
Kobe.
People say that, don't they?
Yes,
no one says
do.
Michael Jordan.
Well, they say like, well, he's got a whole like line of shoes, which is what the movie's
yeah,
about.
Yeah, that's what the movie's about. The movie's about his shoes.
That's
so I'm really excited. We're going to talk about a movie about shoes next week because I think that movie comes out
and
on Wednesday.
It's got like like 100% of Rotten Tomatoes right now.
I don't believe that. Rotten Tomatoes, don't believe it. When the movie Mother came out and Rotten Tomatoes gave it 100%, and then over the weeks as people hated it, Rotten Tomatoes slowly like brought it down to like a 40% or something. Well, was I was like, come on, my dudes.
Was it
like,
the critic rating or the audience rating?
No, they both went down. Oh. Like the critic rating was good before the movie came out, like right when
The rating usually most always goes down.
Why is it always so high at the start?
Because not that
not
many
very
people
critical critics
have reviewed it yet. Like,
yeah, but it was like the
have.
Critic rating.
Yeah, but 20 people really liked it, and then 60 more people did it, then it decreased.
Whatever. Stop standing up for them.
I'm just explaining how it works.
I don't want the explanation. I just want the validation that I'm right, that it's, I don't believe, I no matter what you say, I'm not going to believe Rotten Tomatoes. Like, whatever they say, I don't believe. Unless it's, like, really, really bad. Like, it's, like, a one with, like, a 12%, then I do believe
12%.
That.
Do you know what the, I wonder what the highest rated movie on Rotten Tomatoes is. I think I know what it is, actually.
What do you think it is? I'm going to say,
last time I checked, it was Paddington 2.
Yeah, Paddington. I forgot about that. Is it Paddington? That's such, like, a random movie to be the highest
I still
rated.
Need to see both of those movies.
You haven't seen them?
I haven't seen
either
of them.
They're so cute.
Isn't it, like, all about marmalade?
Yeah, I was obsessed with it when my family first went to London, and we went to, like, Paddington Station. It was so cute. They had, like, a little gift shop for, like, Paddington stuff.
That's so cute.
It was really cute.
That was adorable. Okay, sorry. Processing.
Oh, you're looking it up? Why do you have to scroll so much?
I don't know. Okay, never. This is inaccurate. This list is completely inaccurate.
Why don't you go to Rotten Tomatoes? To find out.
Oh, that's probably a good idea. What does it say? Leave No Trace. That's up there. Toy Story 2.
Mm.
These are some of the top ones. Toy Story. Okay, well, Singing in the Rain. There was a list that
great.
I found, but I can't find it anymore. But trust me that it was there.
I believe you.
Terminator. All About Eve. Bunch
okay.
of movies I've never heard.
My
12
friends,
Angry Men.
Jonathan can continue to scroll as much as he wants. I'm going to go ahead and say time to say bye-bye to the podcast. We'll see you guys next week. We're going to talk about Air.
Bye.
Bye.